So I'm Susan Irvine. I'm the I'm usually at the mammography center. So I'm a radiologist there, and all I do is breast imaging and intervention. So that's kind of my thing. So anyway, I was going to talk about two things mainly: dense breasts, because you hear a lot about that right now in the news. It's a kind of a big topic, and then also just we can go over the different imaging for recommendations for breast cancer screening. So dense breasts. What are dense breasts? So the breast is made up of fatty tissue and fibroglandular tissue. And so the more fibroglandular tissue you have, the more dense your breasts are. And people that are younger, premenopausal, usually have more dense breasts, typically, than older postmenopausal women. But that is not, that doesn't always hold true. We do have older postmenopausal women that have dense breasts as well. So it's kind of a rule of thumb, but doesn't always hold true. Also, postmenopausal women who are on hormone replacement therapy can often have more dense breast tissue, and it's kind of an interesting effect. You can see someone with fattier tissue when they start hormone replacement therapy. You can actually see on the mammogram the breast density may change. So that's one, that's probably the only way that you can really change your breast density would be starting or stopping hormone replacement therapy. But and right now, the way that breast density is determined is a radiologist like myself does a visual assessment. So as you can imagine, there is some subjectivity with that. You may get one radiologist that says one thing and another radiologist that says another thing. They're going to be close, but they may be a little bit different. They are working on computer models, so software programs that look at the breast tissue kind of and do a 3D calculation and determine the breast density. So once we have that available, it'll be a little bit more objective rather than subjective, but that's kind of a little ways down the road. So in one of those packets, I have an example of the different breast densities, and I can just kind of show you. They didn't print real well. We didn't have any. I'm lost without my AV equipment. We radiologists like our pictures, so I had to have some pictures available. So basically, by law, we have to use one of four terms to talk about breast density. And in every mammogram report, each person gets a statement regarding their breast density. So these are examples of the four different types of breast density. So these go from predominantly fatty, scattered fibroglandular, so there's a little bit of the white is the fibroglandular tissue. So the fattier tissue is darker, okay, and the fibroglandular tissue is white. And then this is called heterogeneously dense, so it's kind of 50-50. We've got quite a bit of glandular tissue, but then some fatty tissue as well. And then this is extremely dense, and so this is almost all white, so extremely dense breast tissue is almost all fibroglandular tissue. So you can see, especially in this area, is where you probably get the most variation. You know, one radiologist might call something scattered fibroglandular, another might call it heterogeneously dense. So, but you know, looking from here to here, you can clearly see a difference from the extremely dense to the fatty tissue. And so right now, we just do a visual assessment. Obviously, there's a lot of in-between cases where they don't quite fit perfectly in one group. Actually, sometimes you'll have one breast that's more dense than the opposite breast in the same patient. So sometimes we see that as well. More often you're going to see a predominantly fatty breast in an older postmenopausal woman, more likely to see an extremely dense breast in a younger premenopausal woman, but you can see anything in between. So as you can see, you can see why breast density would be important for one reason, which I think is the most important reason that we talk about it, and that is because your mammogram is going to be less accurate in extremely dense breast tissue. So you can see how cancers actually show up on mammograms as white. So you can see how if you have a white cancer and it's kind of stuck in this tissue, it's going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to see. So we call that masking. So the dense breast tissue can basically obscure the cancer and make it invisible. So you can actually have, in extremely dense breast tissue, mammograms can be 20% less accurate compared to the fatty tissue. So mammograms have been shown in multiple studies to be effective for people with all types of breast density. So I'm not saying don't get your mammogram if you have dense breast tissue. It's still very important, and we still pick up things like masses and calcifications, which you can see regardless of breast density. But as you can imagine, we can more easily see a small cancer in someone with that fattier breast tissue than with the extremely dense breast tissue. So that's the one reason that breast density is important, is just because of the fact that it can make your mammogram less accurate. The other reason it's important is there is a slight increase in breast cancer risk with dense breasts. And it used to be felt, and a lot of the earlier articles indicated a stronger association between breast density and breast cancer, but a lot of that data was based on comparing this very fatty breast to the very, very dense breast. And you can see how there would probably be a little bit more significant difference. But when you're talking about risk over the average woman, well, the average woman is going to be right in here. The average person is going to have either the scattered fibroglandular or the heterogeneously dense breast. These are the less common types of breast, would be the fatty, completely fatty, or completely dense. So most people are going to fall in here. So when you're comparing average to extremely dense, you do have a slight increase in breast cancer risk. It's still kind of up in the air exactly how much, but it's probably not as significant as we initially thought. So those are the two reasons that breast density is important. And then the question is, well, what do I do about it if I have dense breasts? And, you know, that's still kind of an area of debate, and that's why we do hear quite a bit about breast density on the radio and on the news, and some states have actually passed laws requiring the patient to get a statement in their letter. You know, we send you a letter that says your mammogram looks fine. They want, some states have mandated that there be a statement in there saying, by the way, you have dense breasts, talk to your doctor about this. And the question is, what do we tell patients to do about that? And are we just causing undue anxiety when we don't really have a plan? Or do we even need a plan if it's only a slight increase in breast cancer risk? You know, what's the point of all of this? Well, there's a lot of investigation really now going on about what other imaging modalities can be used for additional screening for people with dense breast tissue. We know that mammograms benefit everyone of all breast densities. Breast cancer deaths have been decreased by screening mammography, and that kind of is across the board, regardless of breast density, so that's still important. But then there are some other modalities, for example, breast MRI. That has been shown to be very useful mainly in women with high risk for breast cancer. So people with a family history, the American Cancer Society recommends breast MRI for women at 20% or greater lifetime risk. And so if you have no other risk factors except dense breasts, you probably are not in that 20% or greater category, and you probably don't need to be getting a breast MRI. For women that are at average risk, breast MRI has not been shown to have enough benefit to require getting one. Basically, you could get one, you may find a cancer, but you may also find a lot of things that aren't cancer. And so you always have to balance that when you're recommending a screening test. You don't want to cause a lot of unnecessary anxiety and biopsies and things like that. So right now, breast MRI is only recommended for women that are at high risk for breast cancer. So that's one other imaging modality. It hasn't been shown to be of sufficient benefit yet for women that are sort of in that intermediate risk range, or women with just dense breasts as their only risk factor. Screening ultrasound is something else that's under investigation, and as of yet has not been shown to be a real great screening tool. It is a wonderful tool for evaluating abnormal mammograms and also for evaluating lumps. If you feel a lump or have any other symptom, just ultrasound is very helpful in evaluating those abnormalities. But again, same kind of problem. When you're doing a screening ultrasound, scanning the entire breast, you're going to find things that aren't cancers, and you're going to cause additional biopsies or follow-ups and things like that. So that still has not been proven to be a great way to screen the population of people with dense breasts. Another promising technology that's undergoing a lot of study right now is tomosynthesis. You may have heard of 3D mammography. It's the same thing. It's the same idea as a mammogram. The pictures look kind of similar. The patient experience is kind of similar. There's still a little bit of compression. Unfortunately, we haven't gotten around that. But it basically, instead of just taking one picture this way, one picture this way, it takes slices, so almost like a CAT scan through the breast, but it's a similar radiation exposure as a mammogram. So it's very low amount of radiation. And so the radiologist views it almost like a movie, scrolling through all of those pictures. It takes, dozens of pictures through the breast. And so that is very promising for people with dense breast tissue because, as you can imagine, when you're taking slices through, you're kind of removing that summation artifact that you get from all that dense tissue smushed together on that one picture. When you're slicing through it in these thin slices, then you're getting to see a lot more tissue without getting a lot of superimposed dense glandular tissue. So you're more likely to be able to see a small cancer. So that looks very promising. There's still a lot of studies going on, and it's not recommended just yet for screening. But I think that will probably be our best bet for offering something additional for women with dense breasts that may not benefit as much from your standard screening mammogram as someone with fatty breast tissue. Any questions about breast density or? Any of the...
What is the difference between what you just mentioned mm-hmm. and the digital mammography?
Okay, yep. So digital mammography, that has been shown to be more beneficial than the old type of mammography, that was called screen film mammography. We never called it screen film mammography because we never had another type of mammography to talk about. But that was basically the film-based mammogram, just like the old x-rays where you had a piece of film to hang up. And on those images became higher quality over the years as technology improved. But the digital mammogram is just leaps and bounds ahead of that screen film mammogram. And the most convincing trial, there was a big trial called the DMIST trial, and that showed that especially for women, younger women, and women with dense breast tissue, that digital mammography was superior to the old type of mammography. And the reason is that the x-ray, goes through the tissue so that we basically get more clear pictures. And it was very difficult when we first started doing digital mammograms to compare. It was almost like comparing apples to oranges because the pictures, were so much different, and we ended up having a lot of people, I don't know if any of you experienced that, but when we first got digital mammograms, a lot of people were getting called back to evaluate things that we were seeing for the first time on the digital mammogram that we didn't see on their old mammograms because we just were able to see so many more details with the digital mammogram. So that's the standard of care. You should really insist wherever you go to get your mammogram that you're getting a digital mammogram because it really is superior to the old type of mammography, which some places still have, especially in rural areas or some hospitals, they've converted their main areas to digital, but their outlying areas are still the old type of mammography because they just, haven't gotten around to replacing all the equipment yet. But I would really encourage you to insist on a digital mammogram wherever you go, because that's one thing we do know is that is superior to the old type. So tomosynthesis, that the 3D mammogram that I recommended or that I mentioned, that is sort of building on the technology with digital. It's still a digital type of picture, but it's just taking those millimeter thick slices through the breast rather than just the one picture that we do with the digital mammogram. So similar idea, building on that digital technology, but then taking multiple pictures rather than just the one picture or two of each breast, basically. So
what do we have in Holland?
We have all digital mammography in Holland. Yeah.
We
don't, but we'll probably be getting it within, you know, fairly soon, I think. So, yeah. So I'm hoping, campaigning for it. it's obviously the equipment. I'm no one's favorite person when I request, you know, a new toy at the hospital because these machines are all just so expensive. So, but yeah, I think once more data comes out with tomosynthesis, I think that it'll be you know, a no-brainer for hospitals to convert over. But right now, it's still kind of a, you know, there's so many new technologies out there that it's hard to know which one is going to be the front runner. But right now, it looks like tomosynthesis. So, and obviously, you know, what else do we have? Well, we have breast MRI. So, for women that are at high risk, you know, that's what we would recommend in addition to mammography, is the breast MRI for screening. And we do have a number of women that we do annual breast MRI on in addition to mammography for screening. So those women that have the breast cancer genes, very strong family history, things like that, those are the women that we're doing, or if they've had a history of breast cancer, some of those women also are getting the breast MRI.
I'm one of those women.
Yeah.
Trying to encourage the insurance companies for women with dense breasts on covering,
yes,
as a preventative, like a mammogram is covered
now. Yes. So, yes. Yeah, I wish I could say there has been some progress in getting MRIs covered, and that, you know, I think that some progress has been made. Often, the breast surgeons seem to have a lot more luck with getting those covered than the primary care docs. It's almost like they know which words to use with the insurance companies, because a lot of times I'll have a patient say, well, my insurance won't cover it, and then I'll talk to their primary care doctor, they'll refer them to a breast surgeon, and lo and behold, it gets covered, you know, the next week. So there's something.
Right. Well, and I guess I'm thinking, like,
yeah.
I'm,
yeah.
My employer, mm-hmm, covers mammograms 100%.
Okay. Yeah.
Preventative.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
My MRI is covered, but I pay the coinsurance. So,
oh.
You know what I mean?
So they still consider it a diagnostic. Yeah. Because that's true. Yeah. That's interesting.
You know,
we do.
Where do us patients go,
yeah,
to sort of get somebody to advocate?
Yeah. And we do have, we have radiologists in my group. I have not personally, but we do have a couple radiologists in our group that they go meet with Priority Health and they go meet with Blue Cross, and they tell them anytime we offer a new service, basically, you kind of have to go through the whole thing with them. And then it's a lot of education. And then, yeah, it is very frustrating. It's frustrating for you, and it's frustrating for the doctors that want to order them. And, you know, yeah, when you have a patient at high risk for breast cancer, but, you know, they can hardly pay for their blood pressure medication, let alone a breast MRI, you know, it's probably not going to happen. And so it's really frustrating that the insurers are still trying to find ways around that, because you're right, screening mammograms are pretty much covered. If you have insurance, they're covered. And so it sounds like they're treating the breast MRI as a diagnostic test rather than a screening test. So that's frustrating, because it's been since 2007 that the American Cancer Society has recommended breast MRI for screening. So it's not a new concept anymore. So, yeah, we'll keep trying, and, you know, the next battle will be getting them to pay for things like tomosynthesis and anything new. It's always kind of a struggle and trying to educate the insurers that it's going to be cheaper to pay for an MRI than it is for chemotherapy down the road. So, yeah, so it seems like a no-brainer to us, but, yeah.
So if you're post-menopausal, mm-hmm, and you're sent home, and they say you have dense breasts,
mm-hmm,
and you have had, I mean, this is me.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hysterectomy. I have no ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
What would be causing?
It's not.
Is this a hereditary thing?
It can be. Yeah, it can be. But it's not an abnormality at all.
It feels like it is.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of not quite sure how. I mean, I like giving patients information. I feel like we should all know what we need to know about ourselves. But right when it causes this kind of, well, now what do I do? Okay, now I just feel anxious about having dense breasts, but there's nothing I can do about it. It's not a disease. It's not an abnormality. It's very common. I mean, almost 50% of women have, because anyone with the legislation that's been passed in other states, anyone in these two categories is considered to have dense breasts. And literally, this is about half of the population. So, I mean, when you think about it that way, you know, that's a lot of people that would fit into that category. So then the question is, what do you do? I think really what needs to be done is to find a screening modality that is more accurate than a mammogram. So, and is accessible, available, and not $1,000 like a breast MRI. So, you know, or however much your breast MRI costs. So you know, that's kind of where we need to go with that. At this point, if you don't have any other risk factors, I would say you probably can just continue getting your annual screening mammogram. I don't think there's anything extra you need to do unless you have other risk factors. For example, if you've had, you know, a strong family history, which, you know, most people don't. If you have, and by strong family history, I'm talking about close family members at a younger age rather than an older age, you know, things like that are what we look for. Or if you've had a breast biopsy where you've had atypia or an abnormality on a breast biopsy previously, you know, that might put you over into that high-risk category where you would need to have a breast MRI. But, you know, with almost half of women having dense breasts, we don't really have a good answer for that yet. So that's kind of still the open issue.
Mm-hmm. Number of biopsies since I was 20 years old, and they've all thankfully been benign.
Mm-hmm.
You get to the point where the self-exam sort of feels like, what's the point? Because mm-hmm. there's so many ones in there, I can't tell.
Yeah, yeah.
What's, you know, I mean, I get that you do it often enough, and you
notice
the abnormality.
Yeah.
Something new popping up,
but yeah, that's.
It's hard to stay faithful to doing it all the time when you just kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hear that from all. You're not alone there. I mean, and I think that's one reason that the American Cancer Society got away from sort of, you know, mandating, okay, you need to do monthly self-breast exams. Now they talk more about breast awareness, which I think sounds kind of funny. Like, oh, there they are. Oh, I didn't know. but, you know, they just kind of talk more about being aware of changes that occur. And for someone who has cysts or, you know, throughout their cycle, their breasts change, you know, on a daily basis, that is really still going to be a frustrating thing to try to do. And we have people that just, you know, they're not going to do that. They're going to cause themselves more anxiety. And I agree, if you're going to cause yourself more anxiety in doing this and you're going to end up doing a breast exam every day, you know, then that's kind of defeating the purpose. But for, you know, for a lot of people, it does help, and they do find lumps that are important to find, and you know, it's noticing changes and noticing what your normal lumps feel like, and then what might be different, and then a clinical breast exam. You know, that's kind of the three things that are recommended are the self breast exam, the mammogram, and then the clinical breast exam, and that can be done by your doctor or our technologists do it. They're all certified. And they'll do it when you come in for your mammogram, and that's just a once a year. And our techs are wonderful. They find things that you know, they're amazing. So that's another good way to do it. If you're not comfortable doing your own breast exam, then at least have that annual exam with your doctor. But yeah, we hear that a lot from patients, you know, with with fibrocystic changes or lumps and bumps, it's just really frustrating to try to figure out what is normal. So.
I think liposuction would be good.
There you go. Oh, yeah, right. I know. Well, yeah, I'm sure. Well, you know, they used to do mastectomies for fibrocystic changes, which is, you know, not a disease. It used to be called fibrocystic disease. It's not a disease at all. And it just boggles my mind, but I think there's still patients that wish they could get that done because it does cause them so much of a problem that, you know, not only is the lumps and bumps, but they just, you know, they have pain and things like that. So, it's, you know, I wish we had more to offer those patients because that can be really frustrating to deal with. So.
Well, and breast cancer, just the words breast cancer are put into your face so much more. I think that it does kind of stress you out when you think, oh my gosh, what am I going to
do? Yeah, yeah, it's hard.
You see the people who are going through all the chemo and.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I know it's still the most common cancer in women. I mean, we all know people with breast cancer. It's all around us, unfortunately. And, you know, fortunately, the screening has improved. The mortality rates have gone down by 30% over the past 30 years or so since screening mammography began, and also because treatments have really improved. And the treatments, you know, it's become a lot more personalized. The treatments are targeted to specific tumors based on what the pathologist sees under the microscope and different, you know, can do genetic tests on the tumor, not just on the person, but, you know, that's the treatment has improved, the imaging has improved. So, but we still don't know what's causing it. We know what some of the risk factors are, but still don't know the cause and effect. So. You know, why does breast density have anything to do with risk? We don't really know. So it's still a lot of unanswered questions, which is why we're here. So any other breast density questions? I'm trying to think if I covered all of my. So, and then I think also in that little, I can't remember now what I had in that packet. Oh, there. So, and there's also a little pamphlet at the back there that just talks about breast density. And actually, this picture is a little bit better than the one on my printout. It's just a little smaller. But I think one important thing, and this also kind of shows you the percentage of women that have dense breasts. So, actually, they're in this pamphlet, they're saying it's a little higher than what I said. They're saying that 80% of women would fall into the heterogeneously dense and scattered fibroglandular, so those two middle areas. And then about 50% would be either extremely dense or heterogeneously dense. So literally half of women would be considered to have dense breasts. So I think the important thing to remember, though, is that mammography is still the only screening method that has been shown to reduce breast cancer mortality in all women, regardless of breast density. So, you know, that's something else to remember is don't let the breast density thing, you know, be foremost in your mind. If you have fatty breast tissue, that doesn't mean you don't need to get a mammogram. If you have extremely dense breast tissue, it doesn't mean you don't need to get a mammogram. It's been shown to be beneficial regardless of breast density. So I think that's still important to remember even when we have all these other unanswered questions and possibly better screening modalities coming down the pipeline. We'll see how that pans out. So right now the American Cancer Society recommendations for breast cancer screening are annual mammography starting at age 40, and that's assuming your average risk. So some women who have a family member who had breast cancer at age 40 or age 35, like a mother or sister, a close family member, we usually recommend that you start screening 10 years before that diagnosis of that family member. But that said, we really don't like to do mammograms on people under age 30, mainly because of this, because they're going to be extremely dense. But also just we try to reduce the cumulative radiation over the lifetime. And so usually we wouldn't start mammography until around age 30, maybe age 28, if you're at that in that high risk category. So say your mother had breast cancer at age 40, we might recommend you start at age 30. But the other piece of that would be the breast MRI. And so breast MRI is recommended. Right now it's recommended annually for women at 20% or greater lifetime risk, based on family history or history of chest radiation, not getting a chest x-ray, but like therapeutic chest radiation, which used to be done more commonly for lymphoma and things like that. And beyond that, you know, there's that a big section that are sort of an intermediate risk, a little bit above average, but not quite at that high risk, and that's sort of the gray area where, you know, you can talk to your doctor about having the breast MRI done as the initial additional screening. That would still be the next best option for supplemental screening. And then we'll just see what pans out with the other screening, either ultrasound or tomosynthesis, the 3D mammogram. So,
I have a question.
Sure.
The MRI.
Yes.
Okay, when you did the biopsy and you left a little marker.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you do, it's metal.
Yes, it's titanium. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There won't, when you do, can you still have an MRI?
Yes. Yes. And we use all titanium marker clips at Highland Hospital. There are some manufacturers they're mainly stainless steel, and those are fine too. We use titanium because then we don't have to worry about people that have nickel allergies, because some of the stainless steel clips do have a little bit of nickel in them. So anyway, that's just why we happen to use titanium. But yes, it's not a magnetic type of metal, so it doesn't cause any problems with the MRI. And a lot of times we can't even see them on the MRI. They're so tiny. Yeah. We can see them on mammograms, but they often are just like a teeny tiny black dot on the MRI. But yeah, it doesn't cause any problem with having subsequent MRIs. So, and it, as of yet, doesn't set off any metal detectors, although I did have a patient that travels overseas, and she said in Germany, she thinks that her breast marker clip set something off, but I don't know. I don't know. So no one's been detained yet. I don't know. Yeah. And so we leave the marker clips in for two reasons. Number one, if we have to go back into that same area, then we know where to go and we can localize that area for the surgeon. And also just on your mammogram subsequently, then we know, oh, okay, you had that area biopsied. That might be why we see scar tissue in that area or things like that. So, or if we biopsy a spot but don't take the entire spot out, then we know it's already been biopsied and was benign. So,
thank you
for coming. Yeah. It's nice to see you. Yeah. Is it, oh, yeah, our time is up, isn't it?